Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. The scripture said, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, we come today to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus. We are excited about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God for each and every one of you that have joined us on today. Yes, I'm excited about you. You and you, God have a blessing for you on today with another wonderful lesson that we are coming to lift up that matchless name of Jesus. On today, our lesson is going to be centered around the Christ. And I would like for you to draw your attention as you get your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're going to be looking out of the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 1, verses 4 through verse 14. And we want you just to grab your Bibles and come right along as we look at the word of the Lord on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt today that you will be greatly, greatly blessed in and through and by the wonderful word of the Lord. And so on today, we're going to be talking in regards to the Christ. We must recognize that Christ is the revelation of God, and Christ in us bring praise and glory to God and continue to reveal Jesus to the world. Now, let's take a moment as we ask God's blessing. Father, we come and invoke your name right now and over this session, that we take this time to bind the forces of darkness and bind, Lord, every principalities and, Lord, rulers that will come and try to snatch the bread away from your people. Father, we ask, oh God, today that our pen be as a, our tongue be as a pen of a ready writer, that we will speak a word in due season on today. And Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, put those God-given hands together and let us give God some praise on today as we just shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is the Christ himself. And let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verses 4 through verse 14. And it reads on this line, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the grace and riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, in addition, let's look at another aspect of the word, even in the same book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And it reads on this line, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Father, I ask that you just open the eyes of the understanding of your people to be enlightened. Even those that are challenged by you, Lord, we ask that you open their eyes of their understanding and illuminate them even on today. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's take a look here. The word Christ, translated from the Greek word Christo, means anointed one. It describes the divine revelation of God, the Messiah that came to redeem his people. Though the Jews as a whole were never recognized him. When Mary looked down into the face of her baby Jesus, she scanned the revealed face of God. See John 1 and 13, 18, chapter 1 and verse 18. About three decades later, the baby said to Philip, one of his disciples, he has seen me, has seen the Father, John 14 and 9. Jesus Christ was indeed God's divine revelation of himself. In this passage of Ephesians, Paul, the apostle, wrote of another divine revelation, the internal purpose of God and the singular role that Jesus played in bringing the church. Although Paul had visited the city earlier, the assembly of the Ephesus, they assembled at Ephesus probably had its roots in the message of Apollos. And you'll see over there in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 through 21. Paul found about 12 of Apollos' students in Ephesus who still practiced John the Baptist message, the baptism of repentance. And you'll see that over in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Now, after Paul told them about the Holy Ghost, they received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues and prophesied, Acts 19 and 6. He then baptized them in Jesus' name. Now, the first century revival at Ephesus includes many notable instances of divine intervention. God imparted divine healing by aprons, carried by Paul's body to the sick, and an evil spirit within one man declared that he knew Paul and Jesus, but he violently resisted the attempt of exorcism by the seven sons of Sceva. Many who practiced curious arts, musicians, magicians, sorcerers, astrology, confessed, and burned their manuals valued at least 50,000 pieces of silver. The word of God grew mightily and prevailed so much that Demetrius, a craftsman in silver who made metal image of the idol goddess Diana, stirred up the people against Paul. You'll see that over in Acts chapter number 19, verses 11 to 34. Now, the church at Ephesus was unique in its finding and struggled against evil oppression, which mirrored Paul's primary lesson to the church concerning spiritual warfare. And you see it over in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18. Paul eventually knew well and loved the elders in Ephesus, yet he made no personal references to any of them in his letters. Further, he made no efforts to address the church problem or correct any faults. His primary purpose in the book of Ephesians was to exalt the glory and grace of Jesus Christ. Now, the text of Colossians and Ephesians are quite similar. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul focused more on Jesus Christ as triumphant over all enemies, principalities, and powers. See Colossians 2 and 15. In writing to the Ephesians, however, He focused on the church as the mystery at the center of God's eternal purpose and the consummated means of setting up his kingdom. Paul declared that God revealed his purpose for the whole universe through Jesus and worked it out throughout the church, his body on earth. Now, let us look further. The blessing of being in Christ Jesus. To a believer, the blessing is to be born into the family of God by and through Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs of the benefits of God. Blessing involves grace, and grace involves the blessing to be spiritually in Christ Jesus, chosen to live holy and blameless through him. Let's look at grace and blessings in Jesus. Paul's greatest blessing was that God redeemed him and included him in the church. Though he was previously ruthlessly persecuted believers terribly, it is an amazing testament to the grace of God that God further called this former persecutor to be an apostle to his infant church. Paul began his letter to the Ephesians with his badge of authority, the call of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul valued his call and service to Jesus as a great privilege. Now let's take a moment as we contextualize the implication of what Paul was doing in him valuing his call in Jesus Christ. And even the relevancy for us as the people of God, it is okay for us to value that which God has called us to do and commissioned us as individual to serve in his vineyard as never before. We must value the call, value the anointing, value being sealed and established by God himself. We must value that which God has done in our life. Even if you are a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, it is warrant to us to value even that call, whatever God has called you to, whether you be sending out cards or the hospitality team, value that call because that's a call from the great big God, the Almighty, the great I Am, the Most High God has called and commissioned you to do that work with purpose in the house of our God. And so Paul valued that, and he esteemed that highly. He wasn't high-minded, but he esteemed and valued being called by the Most High God. Oh, child of God, I just felt the anointing hit right there. Shato, randorobo shanda. We value you, God, and we also value the call that you have upon our life. Oh, shandarabo shikaya. He's an awesome God. He felt the challenge to minister to the needs of mankind, but it was his commitment to the call of Jesus Christ that drove him into his ministry to others. Now, the theme of his ministry seemed to be, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who have enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 1 Timothy 1 and verses number 12. Now, let's examine that and begin to unpack that. Paul, he valued again that God was the one who enabled him and seen that he was faithful, counted him to be faithful and putting him into the ministry. And so here, Paul constantly thanked Christ Jesus, our Lord, for what he had done in his life. And so as we, as the children of God, the believers, we must constantly continue to keep that same gratitude of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our life, counting you faithful, putting you in ministry. Yes, we may not be all that we want to be right now or should be right now, but we thank God that we're not what we used to be, but we are on our way doing the work and the will of our Lord. And so we thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has counted us faithful and worthy to be put into ministry, to serve his people, to love his people, to have access unto him, to have relationship, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we thank him for calling us and valuing our call and election. Now let's look at the word apostle, which came from the Greek word apollos, which means one who is called and sent on a mission. The mission that God gave to Paul was that of a messenger proclaiming salvation to the world. Moreover, God still sends messengers today. And the greatest blessing of grace is that God calls every believer to declare the news of salvation to the lost. See John 15 and 16. So God is still yet raising up and sending messengers out and declaring the news about salvation. In the modern terms, the word grace means an attribute, a quality within that renders a thing beautiful or pleasing. It might be the fragrance of a flower, the rich color or texture of a cloth, or the beauty of a personality. The word grace depicts loveliness, whether it refers to a thought, an act, a word, or to an individual. Further, one might define grace as a gift, a favor that someone extends to another without expecting anything in return. Now, in the biblical term, grace, charis, implies that we have all have the good and the perfect gift, the beneficial thing that God gives us and does for us, whether physical, material, or spiritual. You can see 1 Timothy 1 and 14, James 1 and 17. Biblical grace means the favor of God towards undeserving men. What God did for mankind added a deeper and a much richer meaning to the word grace. For he saved sinners who have acted viciously against him, against his only begotten son. Now, grace became the kindness and love that God extended to give hope to individuals who were otherwise without strength, ungodly, and sinners and enemies of Christ. You'll see that over in Romans 5, verses 6. Also verse 8 and verse 10. Now, the difference between God's grace and our grace is that a person may be deemed gracious when he does favors for his friends. But God gave his only begotten son to die for his enemies and is gracious unto all. And you'll find that information over in the Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible in regards to the book of Ephesians, or you can see also Titus chapter number 2, verse 11 to verse 14. Now, let us look further. Blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God, who is our heavenly Father and the Father of Jesus Christ, has blessed us all with true blessings and the believers with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Among these blessings is insight into God's eternal plan for the world. Now, the blessing God bestowed upon his church are not material, but they are spiritual and heavenly blessings. Now, let's look at these blessings. And there are seven blessings that we're going to point out. And I want you to write these down And you'll find these also in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Let's look at the first blessing. God has chosen us to be holy and blameless. You'll find that in verse number 4. Again, these are spiritual and heavenly blessings. Number 2, God has adopted us as children, verses 5 and verses 6. God has redeemed us and forgiven our sins, verse number 7. God has given us wisdom and understanding, verse number 8. God has revealed the mystery of his will to us. You'll find that in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Number 6, God has given us an inheritance and made us the heritage of God, verse 11 through verse 13. Number 7, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, verse number 14. So here we have these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And sometimes we can look around and begin to say, well, I don't have, you know, a whole lot of money or a whole lot of different things. I don't own a whole lot of land. But these are spiritual blessings that God has given unto the believers. These 7 being chosen and to be holy and blameless, where God has adopted us as children, where God has redeemed us and forgiven our sin. God has given us wisdom and understanding, and God has revealed the mystery of his will to us, and God has given us an inheritance and made us the heritage of God, and God has filled us with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul used 8 action verbs in these verses. And these 8 action verbs were chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, given, revealed, made, and sealed to describe the blessings that apply to individuals in the church under the headship of Jesus. Not one of these blessings refers to any material or earthly advantage. Now, under the Old Testament, God dealt with mankind by a covenant involving material blessings. He promised land and wealth to Abraham and progeny and to Isaac and Jacob if they kept his law. You'll find that over in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 17, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And also Genesis 15 through 19, verses 15 through 19 in the 15th verse of Genesis, Genesis 22, verses 16 through 18, Genesis 26, verses 2 through 5, and also 24, Genesis 28, verses 13 through 15, Genesis 31, chapter 31, verse 13, Genesis 35, verses 9 to 12, and Romans chapter 4. However, instead of leading other people into a monotheism, the people of Israel misused and hoarded the material blessing to isolate themselves and claim superiority over other nations of the earth. Now, under the new covenant made by Jesus, God deals with mankind in spiritual blessing apart from material blessing and the law. Thinking only of the material nature of the heritage offered by Jesus was the costly mistake that both the rich young ruler and the disciple had made. You'll see that over in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 29. Spiritual blessing consecrates the inner person. It eases their loneliness and alienation and purposelessness to give them abundant life. They enable one to manage their life and victoriously overcome oppressing circumstances. Spiritual blessings are superior to material blessing in that they are permanent, perfect, and eternal. They are the nature of God himself. experience both upon the earth and in heaven. An individual learns that an earthly inheritance does not last and is subject to moth and rust and to thieves and being lost. One soon learns that earthly and material inheritance cannot bring peace, it cannot bring security, and that eventually he must leave them behind for others. So now let's take a look here as we further explore the word of the Lord here. Chosen to be holy in love. Now the realization of his first blessing, to be chosen of God from the foundation of the world, only comes through Jesus Christ. God will have a people harvest from among the sinful who will by their own choice be in him, holy and without blame, and forever live before him in love. Now, we must recognize the word blameless means to be free from sin and filth, to be above reproach, without blemish, to be without fault or any defilement. Blameless seemed to be the theme of Paul and Peter in their respective epistle. You'll see Philippians 2:15, Colossians 1, verses 21 through 22, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 13, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 2 Peter 3, verses 14. Now let's look further. Beloved children, adopted according to God's good pleasure. Paul used two terms to describe the second blessing: predestinated or foreordained, and adoption. And let's take a look at that. God has adopted us as his children from the beginning through the good pleasure of his will. He not only does he find pleasure in adopting us, but also he counts it as good. Now, the Greek word for ordained does not mean that God chosen some people for salvation and condemned others to eternal punishment. The scripture teaches quite the opposite. See John 3:16, Romans 10:13, 1 Timothy 2:3-4, 2 Peter 3:9, 1 John 2:2. The word render predestination means to appoint before and to foreordain, to predestine. And so as we begin to see that and begin to look, we begin to see that it also means to mark off or to set off the boundaries, giving a picture of what God is doing for the believers. The boundaries of being adopted as a child of God is a mark and set off for the believer in Jesus Christ, made to be heirs and conform to be in the likeness of Jesus, that is the very image of God. See Romans chapter 8, 29-30, Ephesians 3, verses 11-12. Adoption is by Jesus Christ and by him alone. The word accept us into his family. The Lord accept us into his family because we believe and obey him. God provided the format of salvation, but it is our faith and obedience to it that enable us to receive his salvation. Let us look further as we continue to look at the word of the Lord. The redemption we have through Christ Jesus. Redemption through Christ's blood. Let's take a look at that. Now, this third blessing that we have is redemption and forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption convey the idea of deliverance or freedom through the payment of a ransom. Mankind is in bondage to Satan, sold under sin. As a sinner, he commits sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 23. Romans chapter 7, verses 14. Since Adam, the entire creation have been corrupted, wasting away, deteriorating, eventually dying. Romans 8:21, 1 Corinthians 15:42, and verse 50. Galatians 6:8, 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter 2:12, and verse 19. Further, mankind is under the power and influence of Satan, who has blinded the minds of individuals to the gospel. See 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2. Mankind needed deliverance, which is the idea behind redemption and ransom. A person has not the energy nor the power or the ability to free themselves. But God's redemptive plan through the atonement, symbolized first by the shedding of the blood of animal in the Old Testament, then finally provided by the shed blood, which was the fulfillment of the shed blood of Jesus Christ in the new. And you'll see that over in Leviticus chapter 17 and 11 and Hebrews 9:15-22. Redemption is part of the song of the new Jerusalem. You'll see that over in Revelation 5:9 and Revelation 14:3-4. And the word, Greek word for forgiveness is a phasin, which means to send away, to release, to let go. And when the scapegoat was released into the wilderness, it symbolically bore the sins of the people away from them and the camp of Israel. While redemption separates us from sin and Satan, forgiveness separates sin from us. Now, by bearing away the sin that plagues us, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the soul of mankind. Jesus took the penalty of sin and bore the punishment for sin himself, representing all people everywhere. Anyone who has faith, who by faith believes and repents of their sin, is baptized in Jesus' name and receives the Holy Ghost, can be certain that Jesus Christ died for him and that he is forgiven or she is forgiven. And you'll see that over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. The blood of Jesus Christ sent away and washed away the redeemed person's sin as well as guilt. Oh, child of God, we have something to rejoice and praise God for, that he has washed away our sin, and we have redeemed from it, and we are redeemed from the guilt, even the very guilt of it. That is profound of what the blood of Yeshua, which is Jesus, our salvation, who delivered us from the guilt and the shame and even the very act of the sin through his shed blood, who he made atonement over 2,000 years ago. Oh, we thank God for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Now, Christ abounds towards us in all wisdom and even in prudence. Now, the fourth spiritual blessing God has given us is wisdom and prudence. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia, means seeing and knowing the truth, knowing what to do. Spiritual wisdom found only in Jesus Christ is able to grasp the great truth of light, the deep things of God. Those who search after and seek after Jesus, honor him and obey him, will their heart receive the promise. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look also at 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. Look at Philippians 2:5, James 1:5. The word for prudent is the Greek word phronesis, meaning seeing how to wisely use truth, seeing the direction to take in solving day-to-day problems. It is a practical understanding of things. That is one of the spiritual blessings that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given unto the people of God. Let's look further. Christ revealed to us the mystery of his will. Revealing the mystery of Jesus Christ's eternal purpose is the fifth spiritual blessing in the divine revelation. Indeed, this is the key thought of the epistle to the Ephesians. A biblical mystery is not something mysterious or difficult to understand, but it is a truth closed up in God's plan until the proper timing of its unfolding. The mystery of God will reveal here can be simply stated. God is to gather and unify all things, both visible and invisible, and bring them into an eternal peaceful harmony under the authority of Jesus Christ. God has revealed to us by his an eternal purpose and plan for the world, and it is his pleasure to bring it about in and through his church. Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 11. Jesus Christ is God's appointed head over the church. God knew creation in this present order of things. See Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 22-23. And so here it let us know that we must see Jesus Christ is God's appointed head over the church and God's new creation in this present order of things. The headship in this new creation will eventually fill the earth in the future. We'll see Ephesians 4, verses 5, Ephesians 5, 23, Colossians chapter number 1, verses 18, also chapter 2, verse 19, James chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the church is the Lord's representative body and instrument of his peace upon the earth. Further, the church is the ambassador to take the gospel message to the world and to reconcile individual to God. See 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through verse 21. Now, let's look at D, our next point. In time, all will be gathered unto an inheritance in Christ. The need to gather all things in heaven and earth indicate that there is a division throughout the universe that needs reconciliation. See Ephesians 6 and 12. This will occur through a consummation of the history in the fulfillment of time in which Jesus Christ will separate, sift, and bring all things to resolution. Paul used the word dispensation, meaning household arrangement, or to convey the idea that the entire universe is a house under God's watchful management. In that climactic day, God will place all disharmony, division, and evil under Jesus Christ, which will result in a new and eternal creation established the Lord and his followers. The sixth spiritual blessing God has given is the gathering of a special people unto himself as a spiritual inheritance. And the word inheritance means to be made the heritage, the very possession of God. God, who works all things at the counsel of his own will, foreordained that this inheritance, indicated by the words that we should be, inheritance means living and having eternal life existing as God's cherished heritage. And you can see that over in Deuteronomy chapter number 9 and verse 29. Now, let us look further. The sealing in Christ with the Holy Ghost. Sealing in Christ with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the inheritance of promise. The promise of the Father is a prominent teaching of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ and the apostles. See Joel 2, 28, Luke 24 and 49, Acts chapter 4 and verse, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Acts chapter 2 and 33, Galatians 3 and 14. Now in John 14:16, Jesus promised that he will pray the Father will send the Comforter to abide forever. Sent in the name of Jesus, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost who brings all things to our remembrance and teaches all things. Further, the promised Spirit will reprove, convict, and convince the world of their sin, judgment, and righteousness, and bring glory to Jesus Christ. And you can see that over in John 16 and verse 14. Now, a person received this inheritance first by hearing the word of God, thereby knowing the truth that produces faith in Jesus Christ. See Romans 10 and 17. The church must carry the gospel to the ears that are already and ready to hear. God has chosen to save them that believe by the foolishness of preaching. See 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. Paul clearly spells out the gospel as death, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. So a person's belief, the gospel is reenacting him as he experienced the new birth. The believer undergoes death by repentance, burial by the immersion in the water in the name of Jesus, and resurrection to life by the infilling of the Holy Ghost as he speaks in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. This spiritual experience initially seals the believer as an adopted child of God, and the believer's continued spiritual growth and give further evidence of that sealing. Now, through the person's life, the Holy Ghost declared to friend and foes that God inhabits their hearts and provide these wonderful, wonderful benefits in that individual's life. Now, let's look at the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. An earnest is a pledge or a guarantee or a down payment. The earnest of the indwelling Holy Ghost provides the believer an assurance that he is God's cherished possession. This guarantee confirms the believers and declares the active grace of God in the believer's life. Paul addressed the subject in his letter to the Romans as the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8 and 16. He also linked it to sealing, see 2 Corinthians 1 and 22, also linked it to an adoption. And it reads on this line, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You'll find that over in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Let us look further and look at another aspect. After we have looked at the Holy Ghost is our earnest of our inheritance, let's look at another aspect about this Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives wisdom as well as revelation. Now, progressive revelation of the eternal plan of God brings us need for understanding. Paul prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is essential to growth in the knowledge of God. The Holy Ghost allowed the believer to seek after and grasp the wisdom of God. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to do it. But spiritual wisdom involves knowing God and his revealed purpose and how to relate to him. Wisdom brings understanding of knowledge of God and allow a person to experience him. Education received from a secular institution may equip a person for vocational pursuit in this world, but the spirit of wisdom urges us to pursue education in the things of God. Indeed, the person who hunger and thirst after God and seek his righteousness will become wise. See Matthew 5 and 6, Matthew 6 and 33, Matthew 7 and verse number 24. Now, for one to gain knowledge of God requires the spirit of revelation or illumination. And when we begin to look at the word revelation, it means to manifest, to uncover, to open up. And as the work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is progressively illuminating one's knowledge of God as he is able to grasp it, thereby providing spiritual understanding. See John 14, 26, John 16, verses 12 through verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Now, the highest goal of a human philosophy appeared to be to know himself or thyself. However, Jesus declared that This is life eternal, that ye might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. Personal knowledge of God provides only image and reflection by means by which a person may truly know himself. Now let's look at another aspect about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives hope of calling and glory. Over in Psalms 19:8, it declares that the commandment of our Lord is sure, enlightening the eyes so that the understanding results. Enlightened eyes allow the believers to know the hope of God's calling that Paul enumerated in Ephesians 1:4-10. It is evident that God has called us to stand before him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as perfect or as complete. This is the believer's hope and calling. See Matthew 13:43, Romans 8:16-17. Now let's take a look and let us go back over for just a moment and things. As we began, we talked about the Holy Ghost that is being our inheritance of the promise. We also talked about that the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. And we also stated that the Holy Ghost gives wisdom and revelation and is progressive, is progressively giving and revealing and making known and uncovering and opening up. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it is a gift for you, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. It is for every man, woman, boy, and girl and things, because through the Holy Ghost, God is going to uncover. God is going to open up unto you and enlighten you and give you revelation knowledge about God himself. And so it's key to desire and ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. It's for you, yes. Speaking in tongues, as the Spirit of the Lord give others, is the evidence of one receiving the Holy Ghost. And it is for you. Yes, you, child of God. It is for every man, woman, boy, or girl. No matter what your ethnicity is, it doesn't matter what background your socioeconomic status is, it does not matter. It is for all. It is the earnest of our inheritance. It gives revelation and wisdom. It also gives us hope of the calling and glory. And if you don't have it, God will give it to you. Keep seeking. Keep asking God to give you understanding, and God will enlighten you so much so that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to give unto us, to lead and guide us into all truth. We are able to commune and directly speak unto him and talk with him, and he'll lead and guide us. He'll open up our understanding, even regarding the biblical text and the scriptures. And God will grant unto us that illumination because we're seeking him with our whole heart and mind. He said we will be found of him, and he will fill you with the Ruach, which is the wonderful breath of God. Now let's look further. God exceeding great power revealed in Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at that. God's power is towards us and exceedingly great. Now when a person receives the Holy Ghost, that person experiences the power of God themselves. You can see that over in your Bible. Read Acts 1:8. God's power is exceedingly great. The word exceeding here means that surpassing, unlimited, immeasurable, beyond even imagination. God extends his mighty, explosive resurrection power to each Holy Ghost-filled person. You'll see that over in Ephesians 3:20 as well. Let's look further. God's power raised Christ and exalted him above all. This same power. God has the power to transform individual to an exalted, eternal life in heaven. See John 14:2-3, Acts 7:55-56, Philippians 3:20-21, Colossians 3 and 4, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Paul declared that the resurrected Christ would be exalted above all. Raising Jesus from the dead and exalting him above demonstrates the three avenues of the power of the believers. Let's take a look at those three. Number one, the power to conquer all trials and tribulation of life. Because Christ conquered the most powerful trial that faces mankind, which is death. See 1 Corinthians verse chapter 10, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So here, that power that raised Christ is the same power that's going to give us the victory over all trials and temptation, even in our lives. Number two, the same power He gives to a person new life to live with victory and grace, the grace of God on earth. It said, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ we was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. See Romans 6 and 4. See also Ephesians 4 and 24, Colossians 3 and 10. 1 John 2 and 6. Number three, power to raise a person from the dead. The Holy Ghost resurrects the believers to the new existence of real life in Christ, not a dead, dull existence. The call of Lazarus from the dead after 4 days prefaced the resurrection of Jesus Christ and confirmed Jesus as the resurrection and the life. See John 11, verses 25 to 44. Like Jesus, a believer is to experience the resurrection power of God that raised him from a state of death in sin and ultimately transforms them to a state of eternal life. You'll see that over in John chapter number 5, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 40. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. And further, the believers are to experience the exalting power of God that took Jesus to even to heaven. And you can see that over in Mark chapter number 16, verse 19, Luke chapter 22, verse 69, Acts chapter 5, verse 30 to 31. Now, the right hand of God means that Jesus was exalted to the highest seat of authority and honor in the universe, above all, both in this world and in the world to come. From that position of authority, he rules over all, no matter how great or powerful they may be. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rules over them. Matthew 25 and 23 and verse 34, Luke chapter 19, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 through 3, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, James chapter 2, verses 5, 1 Peter 3, verses 22, Revelation 5, verses 10, Revelation 22, verses 5. Moreover, God has exalted his name above every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 1 through verse number 21. So Ephesians 1 and verse 21. Now let us take a look here as we look where we just came from in regards about the Christ. First, we must recognize that we talked about the blessing of being in Christ. And then we talked about grace and blessing in Christ Jesus. Then we went on to look at blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places and how the blessing of God bestowed upon this church, they are not material, but they're spiritual and heavenly. Now, we can find that in verse in the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, as what we read, chapter number 1, and verse number 4, say, God has chosen us to be holy and blameless. That's one blessing. The next blessing is God has adopted us as children. verse 4 and 5. God has redeemed us and given us, forgiven our sin. God has given us wisdom and understanding. God has revealed the mystery of his will to us. God has given us an inheritance and made us the heritage of God. And God has sealed us with the Holy Ghost and with promises. And so we must recognize that God's chosen us, he adopted us, he redeemed us, he forgiven us, he even given to us and revealed to us, and he made us and he sealed us. And all these things that God has done and given unto us as children of God, we too must be like Paul. Paul cherished and valued that which was Jesus Christ had did in his life, calling him into the ministry, commissioning him to go forth and to do the blessed work of the Lord. And so we as the children of God, we have been called, we have been adopted, we have been redeemed, we have been forgiven, we have been chosen, we have been given wisdom and understanding, the illumination and revelation. We have been given, even revealed, the mysteries of God have been revealed unto us. And so we as the children of God, we have so much to thank God for. It doesn't mean that everything may be going your way, but you're still blessed. You've still been adopted. You've still been sealed. You've still been given the mystery and the wisdom of God. You're still blessed above measure. You have been chosen faithful to be faithful and have been counted worthy to be put into ministry. No matter what type of ministry of service that may be, God seen you and put you into ministry. That in itself should be enough to praise God and give him the glory and the honor. Sometimes the enemy trip us up in our mind of thinking that we need more, 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 or running after purpose. But once God has given you purpose, step there into it and begin to do it with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Whether it's to be a Christian education teacher or to be a teacher, whether it's to be a minister, whether it's to be an apostle, whether it's to be a prophet, whether it's to be a ministry of health, ministry of mercy, ministry of administration, ministry of influence, whatever God has given to you to do in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and watch God bless you, and watch God fortify and strengthen you and undergird you in the mighty and the special way. And so, God's divine revelation of Jesus Christ and our redemption in the church through him makes available all spiritual blessing to the believer who lives and have their being in Christ Jesus. The great blessing is that God has chosen the believer to be perfect, complete, and entire, and wanting nothing in Christ Jesus. Our only hope of ever living with God is by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him. This we do through faith in Jesus, repentance of sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and receiving of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. As we live a new life in Christ Jesus through obedience and holiness, we grow in our relationship with him. God has called us to be busy about his business, to witness, to proclaim the message of reconciliation, to minister to the desperate need of the world lost without God. Oh, child of God, child of God, I encourage you to move forward in the things that God has given unto you, and to be even like Paul. Paul cherished that Christ had called him. He cherished everything that God had done and given and put into his life and under his charge. He highly esteemed it, him knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege. And even so, he said, even in the word, how that he thanked God. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful and put me into the ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12. I come to encourage you today to be thankful in Christ Jesus of what he has done in and through your life. As we lift up the wonderful and the matchless name of Jesus and give him the glory and honor unto his wonderful, wonderful name. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you for even a greater understanding of the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost, the earnest of the inheritance and being sealed and anointed and appointed and established and progressively receiving revelation of you. God, we ask, oh God, that you bless our hearers on today. Give them strength, give them understanding, and stir their appetite and desire to learn more and more of you as we take this wonderful privilege of being able to commune with you and being called joint heirs in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. Illuminate our minds and, Lord, give revelation, uncover and reveal unto your people even more of your mystery. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor that's due unto your name, because you alone is worthy of the praise and worthy of the glory and the honor. And, Father, we thank you. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, in my closing, remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, whether it's the windows of heaven or whether it's a door or a window or entryway of opportunities. God will do it for you if you keep knocking and keep seeking and keep asking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He'll give it unto you according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So be encouraged until we meet again. May the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. Oh, come on and give God a praise, because he's worthy of that praise. And until we meet again, don't you dare give up. And don't you dare throw in that towel. And if you've thrown in the towel, go back and get it again. Get up to go back down and watch God bless you, overtake you and bless you. And until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.